Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, December 17th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
a powerful storm dumps more than a foot of snow on the Northeast.
The U.S. posts another record day for coronavirus cases and deaths.
Congressional leaders stand on the brink of a deal on a new stimulus package.
New York City schools are remote learning today, and the MTA avoids massive service cuts for now. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Giants quarterback Daniel Jones now dealing with a second injury. The Knicks won a preseason game with Cleveland.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are gaining this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 20 points. Dow futures up 134. NASDAQ futures up 60. The DAX in Germany is up 0.75%. The CAC in Paris up 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 is little changed. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 0.91%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 37 cents at $48.21 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 1.25%. Nathan.
Karen, a powerful storm continues to wallop the Northeast with snow. D.C. appears to have missed the worst of it, but New York and New England are waking up to messy conditions on the roads. When it's all said and done, several states will find themselves under more than a foot of snow. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin is tracking this storm for us and joins us now with the very latest.
Nathan and Karen, the area of low pressure that we've been watching since yesterday playing out as expected. It's going to pass south of New York City and Long Island this morning and then move south of Nantucket, Massachusetts this afternoon. We still have some snow working its way from eastern Pennsylvania across the tri-state area and on up into New England. That will be diminishing, though, as we head through the next 12 hours. The storm system will continue heading out into the Atlantic later this afternoon. Things really start to improve across the area later tonight. We get a chance to dry things out and bring a large area of high pressure down from the Great Lakes states for the day tomorrow.
Okay, Rob, so how much longer do you think we're going to be dealing with this?
Based on the current track of the storm, it looks like snow will taper off in the New York City area by about 10 o'clock. Another 1 to 3 inches may fall. The Boston area ends this afternoon. There we could see another 3 to 5 inches of accumulation before it ends. I'm Rob Carolin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Rob, thank you. And of course, we'll keep checking in with you for the latest on the storm throughout the day. Meantime, we're coming off the deadliest day yet in the pandemic. More than 3,800 Americans died from COVID-19 yesterday. The U.S. is reporting another 250,000 infections, including a fresh record in California. Here with more is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Over 53,000 new cases, more than 18,000 cases over any previous day, hospitalizations jumping 4.3%. Los Angeles County Health Director Barbara Ferreira uses the word overwhelm.
The virus is still very much with us and continues to devastate lives throughout the county and completely overwhelm our hospital care system.
And she says on average, 2 people an hour are dying of COVID-19 in L.A. County. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Some snags are being reported now in the effort to get vaccines to parts of the country. In California and Alabama, some doses have been held up for being too cold. And the first known allergic reaction to Pfizer's shot in the U.S. was reported in Alaska. Still, White House Coronavirus Task Force Coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx is optimistic.
This is one of the most highly effective vaccines we have in our infectious disease arsenal. And so that's why I'm very enthusiastic about the vaccine.
Well, there are still concerns some may refuse the shots. To build public confidence, President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President Mike Pence will publicly receive the vaccine in the coming days.
As the virus continues to surge, congressional leaders are working out the final details of a nearly $900 billion stimulus plan. Amy Morris has the very latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Sources tell Bloomberg News the plan includes another round of stimulus checks, $600, plus an extra $300 a week in unemployment payments. It also includes roughly $17 billion for airlines. It does not include aid for state and local governments, nor does it include lawsuit liability protection for businesses, two sticking points that may be taken up later. Once it's written, watch for House leaders to move quickly toward a vote as early as today. Any later than that would be a tight timeline for the Senate, which could push final passage into this weekend. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Amy. Elsewhere in Washington, Jay Powell sees a light at the end of the tunnel. The Fed chairman expects the economy to perform strongly in the second half of next year as more Americans get vaccinated, but the next few months, he says, will be challenging.
The current economic downturn is the most severe of our lifetimes. It will take a while to get back to the levels of economic activity and employment that prevailed at the beginning of this year.
Powell says the Fed will continue providing support to the economy well into the future.
We get another reading on the labor market today. Economists say jobless claims probably edged lower last week, but remain at alarming levels. And Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
The latest COVID-19 cascade is aggravating the labor market situation. Claims are elevated and in the prior report reached a three-month high, 853,000. Bloomberg Economics sees the four-week moving average rising, implying for now a drop in December non-farm payrolls, perhaps a loss of 150,000, the first since April's record plunge of almost 21 million. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. Turning to the markets now, Bitcoin's rally continues this morning. The cryptocurrency is now topped 23,000. It is up more than 20% this week alone. Analysts, including Scott Minard at Guggenheim Investments, say the digital currency still has room to run.
Amazing, you know, over a very short period of time, how big of a run-up we've had. But having said that, our fundamental work shows that Bitcoin should be worth about $400,000.
All right, now Bitcoin's up 7.5% on the session to $22,795.
And we have a deal to tell you about this morning. Novartis has agreed to buy Cambridge, Massachusetts-based Cadent Therapeutics for as much as $770 million. Cadent develops treatments for cognitive and mood disorders. It's currently working on a drug for schizophrenia and already has an alliance with Novartis on a product for treatment-resistant depression. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. John Tucker made it in through the door Eastern. Let us know what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, John.
Did step in a big puddle, though, Nathan.
Yeah.
New York City schools are closed for in-person learning today because of the storm. But it's no snow day. Mayor Bill de Blasio tweeted there will be a full remote learning day for our students. Meantime, Governor Cuomo is urging New Yorkers to exercise caution and stay off the roads. In the city, plows around, but many sidewalks are treacherous. With numerous businesses shuttered because of the pandemic, there's nobody around to shovel the snow. New York City is using a tried-and-true method to slash its mounting bills, refinance. With more, here's Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The city, whose budget has taken a sharp blow from the coronavirus pandemic, sold $1.5 billion worth of general obligation bonds to refinance higher-cost debt. It's a move that will allow New York to save $205 million in the current and next fiscal year. Demand from investors outstrips supply. So far this fiscal year, New York City's tax collections have fallen by 3.5%. Coronavirus-related travel restrictions have crushed tourism, one of the city's biggest industries, and wiped out more than 200,000 jobs in the leisure and hospitality industry. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And the MTA has approved a $17 billion budget for 2021. It hinges on a potential $4.5 billion of federal funds to avoid deep service cuts and layoffs. The MTA has held off on voting for now on fare and toll hikes, employee reductions of more than 9,300, and a 40% cut in subway and bus service. Interior Secretary David Bernhardt has tested positive for COVID-19. This comes before a planned meeting with President Trump. The 51-year-old Bernhardt did not attend the cabinet session after his positive result, which was received during a routine screening at the White House. Others close to President Trump who have tested positive include former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who is now featured in a national ad campaign urging Americans to wear a mask to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
You know, lying in isolation in ICU for 7 days, I thought about how wrong I was to remove my mask at the White House. Today, I think about how wrong it is to let mask wearing divide us.
Christie believes he contracted the virus at the White House. And late word this morning that the French President Emmanuel Macron tested positive for COVID-19. He was tested after showing mild symptoms. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
John, thank you. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, Nathan. Daniel Jones injured his right hamstring 3 weeks ago, missed the upset win in Seattle, returned for the home loss to Arizona, and now it has been learned that in that game he suffered another injury, a sprained left ankle. Not known yet if this Sunday night against Cleveland will be Jones quarterbacking the Giants or Colt McCoy. The Knicks back at the Garden last night. First time since last March, they outscored Cleveland 34-13 in the fourth quarter. They beat the Cavs 100-93, same two in the preseason finale tomorrow. This would normally be the week of the baseball winter meetings. Instead, Zoom calls. And yesterday, it was Mets manager Luis Rojas who says he'll be better in his second season on the job.
There's always so much room for growth in this game, especially for a first-year manager like myself and how things went last year. So many things to learn from and all the changes. And, you know, and especially in-game, you know, the more you're involved in games, I think the more experience you create.
A report yesterday from MLB Network that the Colorado Rockies, looking to reduce payroll, are trying to interest the Mets in the trade for the Rockies' star third baseman, Nolan Arenado. The Negro Leagues began in 1920, lasted until 1948, the year after Jackie Robinson's debut. It had great players whose records and statistics will now count as if they were in the majors as MLB reclassified the Negro Leagues. It adds to Willie Mays' career hit total. It moves Monty Irvin's career average from 293 to 304, and it recognizes a 441 average that Josh Gibson had in 1943. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, could the Empire State join the Garden State in legalizing sports gambling? At a news conference yesterday, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said legalization could help close the state's $15 billion budget gap. A Morgan Stanley gaming analyst says legislative experts think Governor Cuomo is seriously considering changing his stance and supporting legalization. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and European stocks moving higher this morning. U.S. stock index futures are as well. We are watching Bitcoin today surpassing $22,000 for the first time. Oil holding on to gains in the wake of a surprise decline in U.S. crude inventories. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 20 points this morning. Dow futures up 132. NASDAQ futures up 62. The DAX in Germany is up 0.75%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, the yield 0.92%. Yield on the 2-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 23 cents at $48.05 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1.1% or $20.60 at $18.79.70 an ounce. The euro 1.2230 against the dollar. British pound 1.3581. And the yen is at 103.10. And again, watching Bitcoin at $22,666. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John, good morning.
And Karen, the powerful storm continues to wallop the northeastern U.S. with snow. When it's all said and done, several states will find themselves under more than a foot of snow. Interior Secretary David Bernhardt tested positive for COVID-19 on Wednesday before a planned meeting with President Trump. This morning comes word that the French President Macron has tested positive, and nearly 5 million Americans say they can't work because they're sick with coronavirus. Sports, week 15 of the NFL season kicks off tonight with the Raiders hosting the Chargers. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John. Thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. No excuses for lawmakers on Capitol Hill this morning. Even with snow and a pandemic, they are going to get back to work this morning to try to work out the nitty-gritty details on a bipartisan relief package. For the very latest, we're joined this morning by Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy. Hope you're staying warm this morning, Terry. So what are the main details that need to be worked out here, and can lawmakers get this thing done?
Good morning, Nathan. And yes, I think lawmakers can get this thing done. I've been, as you know, was quite bearish on the ability to do this throughout the fall, but what changed a couple of weeks ago, frankly, was kind of a combination of two things. One, the rise of the centrists expressing disappointment and impatience with Congress not getting this done sooner, and centrists, in my experience, tend to rule the roost on fiscal matters, number one. Number two, a push from not just Senate Majority Leader McConnell, but also a number of Democrats, not including Mrs. Pelosi and Mr. Schumer, also expressing a desire to want to get rid of the two most contentious issues, the non-COVID state and local money and the liability protections. So they'll live to fight another day on that, and everything's going to get done, I think. Yes, I think markets can expect an announcement today or later today or tomorrow of a package just shy of $900 billion that basically continues the CARES framework for another 3 months.
Now, our reporters, of course, are looking through the legislation and finding a potential sticking point in this idea of matching FEMA payments for the pandemic 100%, and that potentially being a backdoor to state and local aid. Is that something that could gum up the works for this deal?
I think your reporters are quite right to focus on that. I think that's a detail that gets resolved, though. I want to point out that there's never been any dissension in Congress about providing state and local governments money that is COVID-related. The concern has always been about providing, in the most recent case, something like $160 billion for state and local aid that has nothing to do with COVID, whatever. I think they worked that out.
Okay. Now, is Congress going to need to pass another stopgap to get this over the finish line? I understand that the current funding levels run out this Friday. Are they going to be able to attach this stimulus package onto a broader funding bill and get it passed in time before the funding runs out?
Well, I think they probably do. Yeah. For your listeners, let me point out that to emphasize what you've said, that government funding runs out close of business Friday. So the question really is the year-long spending bill, the underlying spending bill, the non-stimulus spending bill, buttoned up enough to be able to get this done Friday and get it going? The short answer is it probably is, yes. But there may be some last-minute details. If that's the case, then markets should expect another short-term kick for a week and just to get everything done. But I'd still look for – that's a procedural matter. But I'd still look for a combination of federal spending, which could kind of contains the fiscal continuity that we've expected over the last decade, combined with – the stimulus bill in the amount that we've talked about to happen over the weekend sometime.
In our last minute here, when it comes to the question of further state and local aid and liability protections, what are the chances that those get passed after the new Congress is seated? Is it going to depend on the outcome of those Senate runoffs and control of the Senate?
In part, yes. And I think that my view today is that you've got 75-80% likely a Republican Senate in 2021, but 20% or so is non-trivial, and those races could definitely change over the next few weeks before finalizing. But I wouldn't look for a lot more if I'm in the markets in 2021. By the time we get through this next stimulus bill, we're going to be looking at late winter, early spring, and the appetite for wanting to do great new amounts of stimulus is going to diminish as the winter goes away, the pandemic and the pandemic starts to flag and the vaccine gets out there. So I would look at this as the last major tranche, although Congress will be open to doing a little bit more.
All right, we'll see how things go, whether we do get that announcement on this current package later this morning or afternoon. Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy, great to have you on with us once again here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Right now, ahead of the open, the rally continues in equities with S&P futures up 20 points, Dow futures up 133, NASDAQ futures a gain of 64 points, 10-year Treasury down 2/32, the yield 0.92% on the 10-year note. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event. Now through January 4th, Land Rover above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. A powerful snowstorm has slammed parts of the Northeast with over a foot of snow in some areas. We'll have details in just a moment. But first, we're coming off the deadliest day yet in the pandemic. More than 3,800 Americans died from COVID-19 yesterday. The U.S. is reporting another 250,000 infections, including a fresh record in California. Barbara Ferrer is health director of LA County.
The virus is still very much with us and continues to devastate lives throughout the county and completely overwhelm our hospital care system.
Some snags are being reported in the effort to distribute vaccines. In California and Alabama, some doses were held up for being too cold, and the first known allergic reaction to Pfizer's shot was reported in Alaska.
Well, as the pandemic rages on, still no COVID relief agreement in Washington, but Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says they're getting closer.
We made major headway toward hammering out a targeted pandemic relief package that would be able to pass both chambers with bipartisan majorities.
The plan includes $600 payments for individuals and $300 per week in supplemental unemployment payments. What's not included is state aid and lawsuit liability protection.
Elsewhere in Washington, Jay Powell sees a light at the end of the tunnel. The Fed chairman expects a strong economic rebound in the second half of next year as more Americans get vaccinated.
However, significant challenges and uncertainties remain with regard to the timing, production, and distribution of vaccines, as well as their efficacy across different groups. It remains difficult to assess the timing and scope of the economic implications of these developments.
And Powell says the Fed will continue providing support to the economy well into the future.
Well, coming up today, we get the latest weekly reading on jobless claims. Economists forecast a read of 815,000. And in Europe, the Bank of England makes a policy decision this morning.
There's a deal in the pharmaceutical industry. Novartis has agreed to buy Cambridge, Massachusetts-based Kadant Therapeutics for as much as $770 million. Kadant develops treatments for cognitive and mood disorders.
And the Bitcoin rally continues. The cryptocurrency has now topped 23,000 and is up more than 20% this week alone.
Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 21 points. Dow futures up 137. NASDAQ futures up 66. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 0.92% and the yield on the 2-year 0.11%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 5:33 on Wall Street. Time to talk about the weather with John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. Yeah, as we try to measure the final accumulation, sunshine may actually peak out later today. Remember that. Let's get the latest on the track of the storm from Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carroll. Rob, good morning.
John, low pressure will be passing south of Long Island this morning, and that should bring the snow to an end. Overnight, we did see some sleet mix in the city. Also had a little bit of rain along the coast of Long Island. Looks like precipitation, though, will wind down this morning. An additional inch to maybe 3 inches in a few spots. But again, the worst of the storm is behind us. We'll see improving conditions this afternoon. In fact, as the storm heads south of New England during the afternoon, partial sunshine will try to develop in the tri-state area, and we'll see if we can't get temperatures up above freezing for a little while. That would help with the roads. I'm Rob Carolyn, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meteorologist Rob Carolyn, thanks very much. Well, New York City schools are closed today for in-person learning, but students still required to log in for remote learning today. With a lot of businesses shuttered from the pandemic, getting around on sidewalks proving to be tough. It's up to individual business owners to clear snow and ice in front of their shops, but they're now missing. President-elect Joe Biden's cabinet picks beginning to work through the confirmation process in the Republican-controlled Senate. Details in this report from Bloomberg's Amy Morris.
Despite the still simmering rancor of the election and President Trump's refusal so far to recognize the outcome, some Senate committees are moving ahead on vetting nominees, potentially leading to some being confirmed on Inauguration Day or shortly afterward. The Senate Finance Committee sent questionnaires on Tuesday to Janet Yellen, the former Federal Reserve Chair whom Biden has chosen to be Treasury Secretary. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee has sent its list of questions to Secretary of State nominee Antony Blinken, with the potential for a hearing before the inauguration. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And President-elect Biden has tapped Brenda Mallory to lead the Council on Environmental Quality. That's a role that would have her coordinating government-wide efforts to combat climate change and promote sustainable development. If confirmed, Mallory would be the first African-American woman to hold the position since its creation more than half a century ago. And American workers are increasingly leaving their jobs or are too sick to work as coronavirus cases spike across the United States. The Census Bureau says nearly 5 million Americans said they can't work because they're sick with coronavirus, a figure which has more than doubled in less than 2 months. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. We last saw Giants quarterback Daniel Jones limping off the field towards the end of last Sunday's loss to Arizona. It was assumed he was still bothered by the injury to his right hamstring that forced Jones to miss the previous game, but the Giants say he also has a sprained left ankle. Giants host Cleveland Sunday night. It's not known if Jones will play or if it'll be Colt McCoy, a one-time Cleveland Brown. The NFL regular season has been 16 games since 1978. The owners would like to add a 17th game. It was discussed yesterday at owner meetings, but no decision was made. The plan would be to reduce the preseason from 4 games down to 2. NBA preseason at the Garden, where the Knicks hadn't played in 9 months. Big fourth quarter to beat the Cavs 100-93. Julius Randle scored 18 points. It was 3 years ago that ex-Knick great Charles Oakley got escorted out of the Garden after that dispute with Knicks owner James Dolan. Oakley had misdemeanor assault charges dropped. His lawsuit was dismissed, but he's appealing, and his lawyer says there is now video evidence that Dolan orchestrated the whole thing. Big Yankee question heading into 2021. What will they get from Gary Sanchez coming off of 2020 when he hit a major league worst 147? Yankee general manager Brian Cashman asked about his catcher yesterday.
But we believe that the sample size of the 2020 season, you know, would be hard-pressed to judge really anybody both in a favorable spot or a negative spot. And the sample size was so small. So we're going to certainly bet on him returning to form.
2019, Sanchez hit 34 home runs and was in the All-Star game. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York City's budget has taken a sharp blow from the coronavirus pandemic. This week, it announced the sale of $1.5 billion in general obligation bonds to refinance higher-cost debt. The city says the sale will allow it to save $205 million in the current and next fiscal year. New York State lawmakers may raise taxes on high-income residents this month. Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie, a Democrat from the Bronx, wants to increase rates during a December session so they can take effect starting in 2021. The state faces a budget deficit made worse by the coronavirus crisis. Red Hook is a sleepy neighborhood on Brooklyn's waterfront. It's become a magnet for e-commerce distribution centers over the past few years. Trouble is, its cobblestone roads are already crumbling with all the added congestion. At least 4 new facilities opening as early as 2021, including several leased by Amazon. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thank you. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. FedEx is indefinitely extending some surcharges.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on moves towards a Brexit deal with a focus on fishing.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about online retailer Wish flopping in its Wall Street trading debut.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting General Motors lending unit has requested a bank charter.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And another story we're following, 10 states led by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton have filed a lawsuit against Google, claiming the company struck illegal deals to rig the advertising market. Ed Ludlow has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The suit alleges that Google used its monopolistic power to, quote, control pricing and engage in market collusions to rig auctions. The states also accused Google of entering into an illegal agreement with Facebook, its biggest competitor in the advertising market. It's the second antitrust action taken against the search giant following the landmark case filed by the DOJ in October. A Google spokesperson called the suit meritless. While it was Republican states that were a party to the suit, the pressure on big tech is expected to continue under a Biden presidency. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. On the earnings front today, FedEx should deliver when it reports quarterly earnings. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
FedEx has had the wind at its back amid the pandemic. Shipping volumes are up for a variety of reasons, including a surge in online shopping. Bloomberg Intelligence sees improving margins at FedEx Ground thanks to its ability to raise rates and impose pandemic-related surcharges. Gains in stops per day and packages per stop are also expected to boost margins. Analysts are forecasting a profit of $3.96 a share on revenue of more than $19.4 billion. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thanks. Futures are moving higher this Thursday morning. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are climbing as authorities are said to be expediting the rollout of a COVID vaccine before Christmas, potentially giving a boost to the region's battered economies. S&P futures are gaining, with congressional leaders still haggling over the final details of a nearly $900 billion in coronavirus aid. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 20 points this morning. Dow futures up 132. NASDAQ futures up 62. The DAX in Germany's up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 0.92%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4%, up 19 cents, at $48.01 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1.2%, or $21.50, at $18.80.60 an ounce. The euro 1.2227 against the dollar. British pound 1.3590. The yen at 103.09. We continue to watch Bitcoin this morning. It rose above $23,000 for the first time. It's now at $22,442. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. We are coming off the deadliest day yet in the pandemic. More than 3,800 Americans died from COVID-19 yesterday. The U.S. is reporting another 250,000 infections. French President Emmanuel Macron tested positive for COVID-19. He was tested after showing mild symptoms and will isolate for 7 days. Congressional leaders and their staffs continue working out details of a nearly $900 billion coronavirus relief plan in anticipation of unveiling it as soon as today. Sports, week 15 of the NFL season kicks off tonight with the Raiders hosting the Chargers. Global news 24 hours a day on air. And on Bloomberg Quick Take, we're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. It's coming up on 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And as Europeans wait for approval of their first coronavirus vaccines, the U.S. is on the verge of having a second inoculation cleared for emergency use, even as hiccups start to emerge in distribution of the first one. Let's get more on all this from Sam Fazzelli, joining us once again, senior pharmaceutical analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. I want to get to the pending approval of the Moderna shot, Sam. But first off, I was really struck yesterday by the revelation that there was a holdup on the Pfizer vaccine in California and Alabama because it was too cold. How does that happen when the Pfizer vaccine, as far as I understand, was supposed to be like below Antarctic temperatures anyway?
Yeah, I have to say, Nathan, and good morning to you.
Good morning.
I'm just as baffled as you are because, you know, actually going below minus 80 is pretty difficult. And, you know, liquid nitrogen kind of keeps you at around minus 80 in the freezers. So I've no idea what the reality of this situation is or what it means. I don't understand why it would affect the stability of the vaccine anyway. But I guess if you've got a vaccine that's been studied at this temperature, you got to assume that you're going to have to keep it at that temperature until you prove that a lower or higher temperature is just as good. So I'm just as baffled. I mean, we hear other stuff too, right? Like six doses in a vial as opposed to five, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. We also heard that that Pfizer is not going to be able to provide quite as much vaccine next week as it is or it has been this week, that there are going to be fewer doses going out. Were these sorts of hurdles to be expected in a mass inoculation that we're trying to unfold here in this country?
Yeah, I think I'm afraid that we have to assume that more of these situations will occur, Nathan, because and, you know, I think we've been on the, I wouldn't say pessimistic, on the more realistic side of some forecasts that people have made in terms of where they think herd immunity will come. I've seen even people suggesting that the United States can have everyone vaccinated by the middle of the year.
Right.
And unfortunately, reality doesn't quite work like that. You've got these things that are unforeseen in this unprecedented level of activity that just have to build that into your expectations.
Well, what about the pending approval of this Moderna shot? The advisory panel's meeting today, I would imagine the expectation is that it's going to get a recommendation. Won't that help?
Of course it will, because they've got that will add yet another company to be able to give us more vaccine doses. And then in January, you might end up with, or February, you might end up with Johnson & Johnson and Novavax if the U.S. accepts U.K. data. But today, you know, expectation is that the FDA will get the panel would give it a thumbs up, and the FDA will follow probably tomorrow with an emergency use authorization.
So what's your expectation of when we could see the majority of Americans inoculated, when we could get that herd immunity? What's your timeline?
Yeah, assuming that people do go and get their vaccinations, I would be surprised if we're not really breaking the back of this pandemic by the time we get into third quarter. But that does require people going in and getting their vaccines. And we do need people to stop transmitting the virus to each other so that it doesn't get a chance to change and mutate and get us back into trouble again.
Yeah, in our last minute here, I guess that is an open question as to whether people are going to go in for the shot, given that at least in this early phase, it's going to nursing homes and hospitals. What are you going to be looking for in terms of whether we do see that that broad approval that we're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about what Tony Fauci has been saying, 75 to 85% of people need to be vaccinated to get herd immunity. I don't think we need to get to herd immunity for us to start normalizing our lives a little bit. As long as we can keep our hospitals not so full of COVID patients and also reduce this mortality rate, I think we can start being a little bit more normal. So I'm still hoping for Q3.
Hoping so as well. Sam Fazzelli, senior pharmaceutical analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. As always, great to get your insights. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Any new round of economic stimulus from the government will likely rely on tax data from 2018 and 2019 to determine who is eligible to receive a check. A bill passed by the Michigan Senate would allow collegiate athletes in the state to profit from commercials or other uses of their images. The plan introduced by Wisconsin environmental officials seeks to fight the effects of so-called forever chemicals that pose a threat to the state's drinking water.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story we're watching this morning. Deputy Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen has not even stepped into the position of acting attorney general yet, but President Trump is already talking about replacing him. According to the Associated Press, the president has discussed removing Rosen if he does not comply with demands to appoint a special counsel to investigate Hunter Biden's tax affairs. For more on the reported issue, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Bradley Moss, a partner at Mark Zaid.
The investigation into Hunter Biden started in 2018. Do we know how far it's come?
It sounds like the original scope of the investigation was broader than the taxes. It sounds like there was a money laundering aspect, a potential foreign lobbying, and all manner of issues tied to Hunter Biden's somewhat questionable private industry activities over the last few years, particularly in Ukraine. And of course, you know, that also came up in the context of the impeachment saga and the president trying to extort the Ukrainian president to launch a public investigation. So it's certainly not surprising that the Justice Department would have had an original, rather large, you know, and wide-ranging inquiry into this. But from the sounds of it, all that's left, all that they think is worthy of continued investigation is whether or not there is a tax matter here. And certainly committing a criminal tax felony is a serious issue. And if that is what Hunter Biden did, then he should face all manner of criminal liability and scrutiny for that, and he'll have his day in court. But the original concept and everything that the Trump team was trying to push out on Hunter Biden, that this was all tied to money for Joe Biden in the end, none of that seems to be playing out in this DOJ probe.
Brad, according to the Associated Press, Trump is considering whether to replace Rosen if he doesn't appoint a special counsel and has even asked his lawyers whether he has the power to appoint a special counsel himself. But the Hunter Biden investigation apparently involves several U.S. attorneys' offices and FBI field offices, so it's not so easy.
I mean, there's limits to what he's going to be able to implement at this late stage and with so little time left. The president can, in theory, do lots of things. He can order investigations, but he can't prosecute criminal cases if that's what he really wants DOJ to do. He could pressure DOJ to appoint a special counsel to look into Hunter Biden. But in the end, unless he's going to literally draft up the order himself, there's little he can do to truly make these individuals do it. A lot of the ones who have the ultimate authority right now are political people who are expecting that they're out the door anyways in a few weeks. And in the end, they aren't going to feel much pressure at this point because they're already looking for where they're going to be come the beginning of February and are less concerned about trying to create some controversial order for a special counsel into the Hunter Biden matter.
And that's Bradley Moss, a partner at Mark Zaid, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures this morning on the rise. S&P futures up 21 points. Dow futures up 135. NASDAQ futures up 63. And the 10-year Treasury is down 230 seconds, the yield 0.92%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.